Okay, good morning everyone. We are Mizmor Beis. We are towards the end. Okay, we're up to Pasuk Tes. Tiroein tiroein b'shevet barzel kichli yitzer ti nachbetzein. May Hashem shatter them. Over here, David HaMelech is speaking. David HaMelech over here has been appointed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be the leader of Klal Yisrael, or we are referring here to the Melech HaMashiach, and Hashem is saying either to David or saying to the Melech HaMashiach, and Pasuk Chesed said, Sha'al mineni ve'etino goyim nachalosecha v'achuzoscha af sei oretz. Ask from me, Hashem is telling them, as Rashi said, to pray. Daven to me, and I will give you everything. I will give you the nations as your inheritance. Your possessions will include the ends of the earth, world dominance, the afsei oretz. That itself is a very big, interesting concept, because in Judaism there is no, does not appear as such a principle of missionizing. There's no real principle of world conquest. It's natural. You don't go out and seek to conquer. If God is going to follow in our ways, fine. Here it says that Hashem is going to give David conquest, your possessions will include the ends of the earth. That's a pretty amazing statement. We have to look at the Shas. Let's first over here, this pasuk test, then he continues. Tiroim, you shall shatter them, the shaved by with a rod of iron. Okay, the word we see Rashi right away, it means tiroitzitzein. You will shatter them. If you look in the Mitzudos Tzion, it means tishabrein. You look in the Malbum, the Be'er Hamilois on page 21 on the bottom left, the Be'er Hamilois, Roya Hu Tiroein. The word Tiroein, the Malbum tells us the Sharish is Resh Vav Ayin. The word, what is niputz? Okay, there are two words. He's contrasting the word tiroim, which means to break. And the word, the next word is tinapetzein. Tinapetzein means to complete. Niputzu hach toso ligami, a complete shattering, the pieces are completely separate. The word to it means it seems to smash.
Like sparks from the handle, though.
It's called
tzitzit.
An explosion. Patish yifaytzei tzela. When you take a hammer and you cause a rock to shatter into little teeny pieces, what it would seem to be, what the Malm is trying to say, is that the difference between the word tiroim and the word tinapetzein is the degree of damage. Something tiroim, lashon of ra. Ra means it's just no longer, it doesn't work. You have an electronic device and it's been sabotaged. You have a smartphone, it doesn't work. It just, someone went and sabotaged it. They went and they put a virus in it, or they did, who knows what they did to it. It doesn't work. The word tinapetzein means you've taken a hammer and you've smashed it into teeny little pieces. So both of these words over here refer to making something dysfunctional, but to what degree? So tiroim b'shevet barzel is the first expression. Kichli yoitzer. With a kli yitzer tinapetzein, we're going to read to the Rashi, kli b'shevet barzel hu acheref. The shevet barzel, Rashi learned, is a sword. Tinapetzein, and the next words, kli yitzer, like a kli yitzer, you will be like a kli yitzer tinapetzein, and you will smash them. Let's see Rashi. Tishabrei v'ulashem yiputz b'chol hamikra cheres hamishubar b'shorim dakim. This word tinapetzein means to shatter. Bechol, and this is common throughout the entire Tanakh, and as an example to appreciate what it means is pottery. When pottery has been smashed, it turns into teeny little pieces. Now let's look at the mitzvah David to get more clarity on what it means of kichli yoitzer.
It's amazing how he uses two words. It can be a positive, ro'eh, is a shepherd.
A shepherd, right.
Sheven is can be like a matet. It's
matet. Something that's positive, right? Right.
He takes the same three words and he says, now you're threatening with the...
Instead of positive, it's been used against you in a negative way. It's very good. It's very good that you have, in other words, you had opportunity. You did it to yourself. You could have had a lot of good opportunity, and because you did not behave, you brought it upon yourself. Page 20. Let's look at page 20. Let's look at the Mitzvah stuff. Page 20. Pasuk test to the aim to shaber oisam kemo hamashaber ma. So you'll go and you will break them. You will destroy them like you break something with a shaved barzel, and then. Now, kichli yoitzer, like a kli. Now, I'm not really clear. I thought I prepared this, but I guess not. Kichli yoitzer, does that mean?
Kli yoitzer is an instrument of a craftsman.
So you're gonna take the so the
pasuk. Like on Yom Kippur, like the pin on Yom Kippur.
So what is it saying over here? It seems to be saying is that you will. Take a kli yoitzer, and with the kli yoitzer, you will obliterate, you will destroy. A kli yoitzer is a more destructive utensil than a shaved barzel. There's a shaved barzel, and there's
a
kli yoitzer.
And you make the same kli that you used to make it, you break it.
Right. It's like, you know, I learned this yesterday. There's the Big Bang. Okay, everyone knows what the Big Bang is, and then there's something called the Big Crush. You know what the Big Crush is? That's when the world comes to an end. In science, the same concepts in science of the Big Bang, how this world came into existence, there is the inevitability that the world will come to an end in a scientific way. The same way there was this concept, which whether you want to say is that because or not,
Right.
So you come and you go out. So there's the big crush. The big crush is when I don't know, I have no idea what this means, but in the scientific world where matter, just like there's a big bang, that maybe you want to argue, I mean this is a very big debate, if the big bang can be if halacha, if Torah can accept elements of the principles of the big bang to understand how Hashem made the world. Obviously, it's Bereshis, Bara, Elokim, that's our starting point. But if we want to break it into scientific terms, is there any redeeming quality in the Big Bang? And in that science, in that body of science, and in the terminology, there's the big crush. The big crush. What?
The big silence.
No, it's crush, it's the end. Is when everything comes to an end.
That actually discredits the whole theory.
I don't know.
So what's going to be? There's going to be nothing?
Chazal said that before Hashem made this world, Chazal said, this is the Chazal, everyone, you cannot ignore. Before Hashem made this world, Hashem created many, many worlds and destroyed them. He did not have any satisfaction from the worlds that he created until now, until he created this world. And what does that mean? Does that mean Hashem made many worlds in this world? On Earth, there were many other versions, many forms of life in this world. There were dinosaurs here on this Earth. Or no, it means Hashem created many worlds, and then Hashem did not have satisfaction, destroyed them, and there is nothing left of them. Nothing. And this world is a new Yesh Me'ayin. Okay, that's another topic of discussion. Okay, but over here, this is called the Kli Yotzer. If I'm not mistaken... What?
Kichli Tipcha. Yotzer tenapzen. Atai kli, the kli shesh, ha yotzer can break it. Atai yatzarta etze v'atai yachon ishbor.
Like a kli, that the yotzer, the creator tenapzen. Why only the yotzer? Anyone can break a kli.
Kadosh Baruch Hu is yatzar ota.
He's the yotzer.
No, but for a kli, for a yotzer, it's a specialized tool.
Right.
Somebody who knows what they're doing.
Right, it's a specialized tool, and here's my debate with you. Let's look at the Targum. Targum over here says, look at the Targum.
The word kichu is a chuch.
The chuch, the chuch is problematic.
It's like a slight pause.
Right, the
chuch. Kichui, yotzei
tenatzen. No, it's a tipcha munach. So if pasuk, they go together. Those three words definitely go together. The three words at the end of the pasuk go together. Kichui, yotzei tenatzen. They go together. It's a tipcha.
After the word kichui, there's a slight pause. It's like
Let's look at the Targum. You're going to break them. Heich, heich, the chutra, the farzula, as one would do with a rod of iron. Heich, as one man, difchar, a mon difchar, te sar inun. As one, he used the same word heich over here. Heich mon, difchar, a person who's a yoitzer, a mon means a person. Difchar, who is a craftsman, tisor inun destroys. So this is what Rav Kalman is saying. Rav Kalman, I think Mordechai also is saying this. He's saying is that a yoitzer is a, I'm not sure.
How we transition the word?
Yeah. Sorry.
The
yoitzer is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's look at the Malbim.
Man is not me.
How we translate
man is a kli.
Man is a kli utensil.
Man is a kli.
Man is
a kli. Let's look at the Malbim for one moment. Look at the Malbim. Malbim pasuk.
How did we translate the word heich?
Like heich means
just as.
Okay. So tiroi aim. Hashem will smash them. Will not smash them. Will destroy them. Break them. That's a better word. Break. Break into big pieces. With b'shevet barzel. Now I'm assuming kichli. You have to add the word. You have to really turn the words around. Turn reverse them. Tinapsein. Hashem will shatter them into teeny little pieces. Tinapsein. Now make believe the chof is a base. Bichli yoitzer. That is how I am understanding at this present moment the pasuk. Again, the pasuk is a parallel pasuk, but it is poetic. So you have to turn the words. You have to reverse the order.
You have to
reverse the order. One approach at a time. You have to modify. You have to change the order. And base and the chof. This we have many times. El. We had it yesterday. Bases chofs. They're not always, you don't translate them with a rigidness that prevents, you have to be more flexible in translating them. So I'm assuming, then we're going to go over Mechol says, Rav Kalman, Rav Mordechai. I'm assuming right now, this moment, that the pasuk should be read as follows. Tiroi aim b'shevet barzel. Hashem says to David, pray to me, and if you pray to me, I will give you the koyach to break the nations of the world with a rod of iron. That will be your tool. That will be your weapon. You'll take this weapon, you will go to the nations of the world, and you will break them into big pieces. Period. Then, for poetic repetition, you will also, now reverse, read the next word should be, in our understanding, tinaktsein, I will give you the ability to pulverize into little teeny pieces your enemies with make believe instead of a chof there is a base bichli yoitzer with a sledgehammer. A chli yoitzer is not just a lightweight tool. There is a lightweight tool is a shevet barzel, and then there is a caterpillar. There are, you know, the big heavy machinery that is used in construction. A kli yoitzer is a heavyweight professional tool that is very, very powerful. It is used in construction for demolition or maybe to build, you know, things that are very, very large to have to be put in position, ruchulu. With a kli yoitzer, you will obliterate them. Now, what is the problem with my interpretation? Number one, why is there a chaf and not a base? And number two, the order is reversed, which doesn't bother me all that much. Yeah?
Why can't we just go straight?
Okay.
To write and the shevet barzel. You will destroy them with a shevet barzel.
Okay.
Kechli, how are you going to destroy them? Just like a kli yotzer shatters.
In other words, you will have the ease to use your metal sword and destroy them with your normal utensils. Just what, like a Kli Yotzer Tanafsi.
Okay, first of all, what is a Kli Yotzer?
I'm not you a Kli Yotzer Tanafsi. You're going to use your
let me try. You're saying is that when you just blow on something, you touch something, the force of destruction will be lemalo miderech hateva. That by shooting a bullet, it will be equivalent of shooting a cannon.
Correct.
Okay, that's another interpretation. Fine. And your interpretation is based on the premise that a kli yotzer is a utensil of mass destruction. A yotzer is a person involved in construction. They have professional equipment that is extremely powerful and large and heavy. An ordinary person has a shen barzel. An ordinary guy in America, right to bear arms. Everyone carries a pistol, right? Everyone can carry around a pistol. But not everyone's allowed to carry a machine gun. Right? So the Kli Yotzer is reserved for the army, is reserved for the professionals. And you carry with you just a little pistol. Your pistol will be equivalent to the army's machine gun.
Why do you have to go and look at simple what he means? He means that just like a Kli Yotzer is a charsina, a piece of pottery, if you take a piece of metal to a piece of pottery, you really manatspe, you know?
So you're saying something very good, okay. So Meir over here is saying something much more important. A Kli Yotzer, you hit the nail on the head. And the Malm, and I think
that's
maybe the Malm says this.
Stance.
A Kli Yotzer in Sefer, I think Yeshai Yecheskel is a potter. Cheres. In the Piyot on Yom Kippurim, Hinei Kichoymer Biad Ha Yotzer. Ritzoyso Yifadesh Uritzoyso. I've got the words. A yoitzer is a specific profession of cheres. Okay, and now like I told you, machinery and doing construction on iron and steel and building buildings, doing demolition. A yoitzer is a potter. And a yoitzer, because they say now things are coming into place. A yoitzer is a potter. And sometimes a potter has a product that is defective. It does not come out the way he likes. So what does he do? He throws it in the garbage. How does he throw it in the garbage? He shatters it. And when you take a piece of pottery and you take a hammer and you give it little zets, it shatters into teeny little pieces. So it's saying here that you, David, you're going to take your enemies and you are tenaptsein. You're going to shatter them into smithereens just like a kli of a yoitzer is destroyed. You have, now, according to what you're saying, you have to embellish the pasuk a little bit. Just like a yoitzer, when he's not satisfied with his product, he takes an object, anything, he can take even his fist, maybe we'll throw it on the floor, and he takes his product and he destroys it. The kli is the product of the yoitzer, not an object of destruction. A kli is a product, and we are explaining it is a defective product of the yoitzer, the potter, when he is not satisfied with his work, tenaptsein. He shatters it into teeny little smithereens. So too you, David, you will take these wicked people who are not good products of this world, and you will destroy them into little teeny smithereens. That appears to be more accurate, because a yoitzer is a word that is reserved for the profession of pottery. Look at the Malbim.
It's someone who formed something.
Out of pottery.
It's not exclusively.
Why
not?
Okay,
the Piyot talks about glass, about other kinds of.
But I think when you talk about the Stam Yoitzer, is pottery. Stam Yoitzer, you have in Sefer Yeshayo, I don't remember, there's a whole parak of a mashal of, I think it's in Yecheskel. Hashem told him to go to the Yoitzer, go to the potter, and the potter's going to make the Kalim. And then he's going to destroy the Kalim. And then he's going to make new Kalim. He's going to rebuild. He's going to. There's a whole section in Sefer Yecheskel about the Yotzer, and the Yotzer there, without a shadow of a doubt, he's referring to Cheres, and Cheres is something which, when it breaks, is exactly what it says here. Tenatzim. The only word you use for describing the destruction of Cheres is the word Nitz. There's no word Shavira regarding Cheres. Cheres is something which is delicate, and when it breaks, it breaks into teeny little pieces. Look at the Malbum. The Malbum here on page 21, on the bottom right. Tiroyim usaloited same b'shevet barzel v'heim yihiyu, and by shattering them with your rod of iron, they will be destroyed. Kichli yoitzer hamuchon. Which means he's adding in words. He's saying over here you have a yoitzer, a potter, who made a utensil, and the utensil is delicate. And if you don't handle it correctly, what will happen? It's muchan. It's going to happen. It's going to shatter into smithereens. And that's what's going to happen when you, David, when you pick up your shevet barzel, and you give these wicked people, you hit them with your shaver barzel, they're going to break. But they're not just going to break into big pieces, they're going to break into little teeny pieces. They're going to be pulverized, similar to a potter who has a clay, who has an earthenware utensil, which by definition is extremely delicate, and if you drop it, or if you just hit it lightly, it shatters into smithereens. So David, pick up your shevet barzel and break them. Tiroyim. The word tiroyim means to break them. And what's going to happen? You will be so successful in breaking them that they're going to shatter into smithereens, similar to an earthenware utensil that when the potter, or when anyone for that matter, drops it or touches it in a violent way, it breaks into teeny little smithereens.
This is very appropriate because it's like crystal now.
Well, Kristallnacht, it was 2 days ago. When was the Hebrew day of Kristallnacht?
Hebrew day?
We should really talk about Kristallnacht one day.
No, the English day.
We're talking 2 days ago. I don't forgot about that. No, 2 days ago. The 9th. It was the 9th?
9th,
yeah. So today's already the 11th. It was the 9th. It was the night of the 9th. That's the English day. What's the Hebrew day? I'll have to go look into it. In any event, to the aim. Okay, so let's go look at.
It goes again to a degree. First is bottom, and then to napetzotam.
Ah, so
from Kal el Akavet.
Right, so
he does it a few times in this parak. I see.
It's gradual. It's gradual. Okay, so with this, so we have a little more of a grasp on the meaning. Look at Rashi one more time. Tiroy aim. Rashi, interestingly though, when he says the word, everyone here wants things to break. He right away jumps and he says, which is a much more violent expression, the shevet barzel, and he says, what is the shevet barzel? It's not a rod. A shevet barzel is a weapon. It's a weapon. And when you use, you rub it against them, they're going to shatter, to shabre. Rashi explicitly, the word yoitzer automatically is a giveaway that we're describing cheres, hameshubar, and when it breaks, delicate, it breaks the shodim back into little tiny pieces. A person, this is always the classic concept, the person, like you say in the piyut, a person is the ultimate kli cheres. A person is very delicate because Hashem made man how? The same way you make earthenware is how Hashem made a human being. Hashem took tit, Hashem took 80% of water, mixed it together, molded it, put it into a mold, shaped it, and put it into the oven. And hardened it, and man is a kli cheres. He's an earthenware utensil, and that means man is very, very delicate. Any little thing goes wrong, a person is delicate. Pasuk Yud, V'yata.
Kristallnacht was 2 Mar Cheshvan.
Oh, so we lost a long time ago.
Yeah, but
no,
Mar Cheshvan doesn't have any holidays. Only maybe in a negative
sense. Mar.
It's always 2.
Rabbi Kony's on here now. He'll tell Mar means the eighth month. He has a lot of Torah on what it means, Mar Cheshvan. Interesting. The second day of Mar Cheshvan, okay? And the English anniversary was on the 9th. It was the night of the 9th. Many historians believe that that is a date of the beginning of the Holocaust, to focus on that and the voyage of the St. Louis. There are two very important dates in the beginning of the Holocaust. And what is the nafka mina? To commemorate the Holocaust. To commemorate the Holocaust as an Orthodox Jew, Chazal say is the haschalah, is aschule paranusa. Tisha B'Av is not the day when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. It was destroyed on the 10th day of Av. However, that's the day it began. It began to be destroyed, and the beginning is very critical. Let's go to Pasuk Yud. Pasuk V'Ata, and now, Milachim Haskilu. Be wise. He Vasru. Take Musar. Be chastised. Shaifte Aretz. The judges of the earth. Pasuk Yud and Rashi. Rashi Yatah now, Melachim kings, Haskilu, Nevi'e Yisrael, Anshei Rachamim. The Nevi'e Yisrael are people of mercy. Umaychichim, Umayis Olam. They are giving Musar to the nations of the world. Losur, they should desist. May Ra'asam from their evil. She HaKadosh Baruch Hu Poshet Yad Loroim V'Atoivim. Hashem is willing to extend his hand. Hashem is willing to show mercy even to the Ro'im. So Rashi here is beautifully, is in a very beautiful way, interpreting this pasuk as Klal Yisrael, David HaMelech, either when he became the king and he was fighting with his enemies, or when Melech HaMashiach will come and the nations of the world will gather to attack, the Melech HaMashiach will give them one last chance. We'll say to them, listen, think about what you're doing. Don't attack. Be wise. We don't want to hurt you. Wisen up. We don't want to hurt you. You're coming here to attack us. We're under attack. We're ready to launch a counter attack against you to defend ourselves. We're going to destroy you. We're going to wipe you out. We're giving you one last chance. The Navi here is the Melech HaMashiach, and he's addressing the Melachim, the kings of the world who have gathered in Melachim Yisrael Magog, and the Navi is telling them, Haskilu, as Rebbe Chol perfectly said, wisen up.
Wise up.
Wise up. Hivashru. The word Hivashru, now it appears that Rashi learns to losur. If I'm not mistaken, he seems to be saying losur, Meiru Asam, to desist. I translate the word Hivashu with the Vav is part of the Sharish, and it means Musar. Shma Beni Musar Avicha. Go open up a Chavis HaLavavis and learn some Musar.
I don't think that's it.
So let's see what the Mitzudas David says. The Mitzudas David says, Pasik, there is no Mitzudas seen on this, Pasik Yud. That's surprising. And the Mitzvah stuff, he says, V'ato now, Hoyal v'hu muftach ne'Hashem al kol zeh haskilu v'kablu musor. Okay, so I was correct. At least according to the Mitzvah stuff. It's a popular word. There's no Kiddush.
I think it's better the first.
Rashi is saying an entirely different word. V'ashim lot of sur meira. Sur meira. Turn away from evil.
Don't do it.
Rashi appears to learn that the word Hivasru is a sophisticated form of the word turn away. You are engaging in evil. You are coming to attack the Jewish people. Stop. You are hurting yourselves. Turn away the Shoftei Aretz, the judges of the earth, from what you are about to engage in. Rash in the Mitzudas David disagrees. He says the word Hivashu does not come from the word sar, but it comes from the word musar. And that means the Vav is really part of the Sharish.
The Targum also is Musa.
Mardusa is Mardusa, except Nogode Ara. The leaders of the earth. So Mardus means authority. Okay, I guess it means Musa.
Mardus,
authority.
Right.
Okay, Musa, harshness. Okay, so the machlekes of that. What is very interesting is that you're giving Musa to the judges. ordinarily, and you see this today in America, okay, you see this in America, is judges, the judicial branch of government, to a very large degree, has been politicized, which is a very horrible thing. You always, a person always wants to have comfort that when you feel that you've been wronged, when you have been wronged, okay, there's a court of laws, a very Jewish approach to life, that the world is corrupt and I'm going to sue you. I'm going to go to a judge, and the judge is going to listen, a sage, there'll be a jury of your peers, and you'll get a fair day in court. Today, you know, it's not like that. Today in the news...
Yesterday it was.
Today in the news, how do I know it's not like that?
Because, yesterday it was.
Yeah, what happened yesterday?
In the Rittenhouse case, the judge went after the prosecutor like crazy.
Okay, when you hear, why do I say that? Unfortunately, I don't follow the news with such an intensity, but you'll always hear in the news that when there is a court case, they'll say it was a Trump appointed judge, or it was an Obama appointed judge.
Yes, well,
they'll always say, oh, who appointed this judge? Obama. Oh, so that's now, they'll always say that's why he decided on the side of the Democrats. And if he didn't, it's like the headlines, shocking news. The world's coming to an end. An Obama-appointed judge decided in favor of the Republicans. Or the other way around. If a Republican-appointed judge decides, he's a Republican-appointed judge, so therefore you assume that's why.
That's less likely.
The Supreme Court is totally politicized.
So it's a very frightening thing. So here is his prophecy. He's saying over here, he vashu shoifte aretz. The judges are so corrupt that the judges need to be told, stop what you're doing, desist. Then the judges need to be told, why don't you go learn some Musa? Why don't you go open up a Mesilas Yesharim? Because the judges are corrupt, that's right. And he's describing here a very frightening thing. Either he's describing the time, his old time, David, or he's describing Musa Mashiach, and he's giving us a prophecy that in Musa Mashiach, the judicial system in the world. This is Lamarok Shugayim. According to the commentators, this is the time of Yemos HaMashiach, this is Melchemes HaGemagog, the Melchemes HaGemagog we have over here, all these different forms of leadership.
Yeah.
Right in the beginning, as we started this Mizmar, we started with the Goyim, the Umim, we have the Malchi Eretz, and the Roiznim. And now, who are we coming in contact? We have the Molochim, they're still here, and they're being told to wise up, and now we're being told that there's a new category. The Shoiftei Aretz, and they are being instructed, Hivashu, a Machloikis, Rashi, and the Mitzudois. Does the word Hivashu mean sur, turn away, desist from evil, Rashi, losur, meiro osam, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu here has been very kind, giving them a last chance, or does it mean like the Mrs. David says, it means, we want to give you some Musar, we want to rebuke you. Okay, now we come to a very good pasuk, which is one of the very, very popular pasuk. Ivdos Hashem b'yira v'gilu b'rada. Serve Hashem with fear and rejoice with trepidation. So the truth is, most of us, I mean, I shouldn't say most of us, but many of us, we forget about the beginning of the pasuk. And we focus only on the end pasuk, v'gilu b'rada. These two words that are taken out of context become a banner for many, many things in Judaism. For example, a shuckling. Why is it that it's very common that when you daven Shemoneh Esrei, when you learn Torah, you sway back and forth. It's almost like what's the good word for a Jew? It's a telltale sign. It's a telltale sign. There was once a mice with a Hasidic Rebbe. I don't know who the Rebbe is, and he says they took a Goy, a non-Jew, and they dressed him up and they taught him. They taught him Daf Gemara, taught him Mishnayos, and they brought him to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe tested him. He's a genius, and he knew everything inside out. And the Rebbe tested him, and the Rebbe at the end said, "There's something wrong. There's something is not right here." And how do you know? He didn't shuffle. Somehow it's in our blood. Where does it come from? So
not
some
everybody.
Of the commentators tell us.
They used the Dabin standing still. That was
right. Rav Moshe, they're different opinions. Rav Moshe Feinstein held, many Gedolim held that the proper posture in prayer is to be still, not to move. Others say no, you should shock a little bit learning. Okay, you're to each his own. The fact though is, in the vast majority of Klal Yisrael, it's a natural reflex when a person learns in Davins. It's something in our DNA.
Just for the record, I saw yesterday a video of Moshe during Davening. Not Shmoneh Esrei, during the Davening.
During Davening? He was shuckling. Yeah. It was only during the Shmoneh Esrei, it was Oymeh Lifnei HaMelech. When you stop in Shmoneh Esrei, you stand still. Where does it come from? So if somehow it's in our blood, if you take a non-Jew, even a convert, and they don't chuckle right away. It doesn't happen right away. It's something that's literally part of the DNA of a Jew. Where does it come from? Sorry? Kol Atzmos, some say that in Chanami. Some explain that. They call Atzmos Tamarna Michmoch, all our bones have to move. Others say it comes from this pasuk. And that is, there is a cycle of our relationship with Hashem. We first experience joy when we are aware that we are in the presence of Hashem, and when we are aware of how much Hashem loves us and how unique we are, we have love. And that love naturally causes us to rise up, to go forward, to come close. Love is an emotion which brings you close. And then as you get close, you become filled with awe. Who am I coming close to? Hashem. Hashem is awesome in the real sense of the word, not the 21st century connotation of awesome, but Hashem, and then you get afraid, and you go back. The natural reaction to fear is to recoil. When you're afraid, there's fire. Go lag ba'omer, and there's a big bonfire, and it's getting out of control. So what do? You go back. I don't want to get burnt. Beer chametz. The fire is too big. You go back. It's too hot. When there's an emotion, love, you come close. Love, you come close. Fear, you go back. So this is a constant cycle. It's a constant cycle in a person's mind, in our relationship with Hashem. There is gilu bira adav. Gilu is joy. You come close, and then you feel the heat. Ra'ada, you go back. The gilu ra'ada. Okay, that's what. In fact, you know, it's interesting that I was reading this, just reading some this thing about this. A very good book. Someone put out a very good book about the ABCs of science. Very, very fascinating book. And just basic scientifically, and he's explaining the basic scientific principles, which I'm thoroughly ignorant of, and he writes there is that in this world there are two physical forces keeping this world in check. There is gravity. Okay, every universe has black holes, and the gravity is an enormous. You cannot escape. Nothing can escape the force of the gravity of the black hole. But at the same time, in nature, there is this natural. Concept in nature, that natural reality of matter being ripped apart, separated,
expanding the universe.
Expanding. And it's a contradictory. There are two contradictory forces taking place, and this contradiction or this opposite force is what keeps the world alive, which keeps this whole world together. The koyach of gravity, this intense gravity, which is pulling the world together. And if this force of gravity would be left not be put in check, the whole world would come to an end in a second. Everything would be pulled into itself. It would crash. The big crunch, as we said before, we would experience the big crunch. What's the big bang? That's what we said, the big bang. The big bang is the expansion. So there is a koyach of the big bang, there's a koyach of expansion, and there's a koyach of coming together. And the miraculous balance of these two is what gives this world energy to continue. That's Gilui Bira Adam. The world of science, it's not just man. Man is shuckles. When a person davens and learns, you shuckle. What are you doing? Gilui Bira Adam. Coming close to Hashem. What does it mean to come close to Hashem? Gravity. Spiritual gravity. Hashem is the makar of man's neshama. So what do? Come close. You want to come close to Hashem. There's a natural gravitational pull to come close to Hashem, to be within Hashem's mechitzas. But as you come close, you're terrified. The awe. Hashem is awesome. Elohim. You run for your life. You run for your life in the awe and the shame. Who am I before HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You run for your life. That's Ra'ada. That is expansion. Okay, we're calling it expansion, but we're calling it in a different form. It's to that combination is the scientific life, force of life in this world. According to the laws of science, which I don't know anything about, but according to what I'm reading from reliable sources, is that the world of science today understands this dichotomy of
That's the Hashem created a world of shniyus, of opposing forces.
And the balance is divine. How there can be a perfect balance where one does not overcome the other. The checks and balances.
Universal laws of gravity say everything has a pull on everything else in the whole universe.
Correct.
That's why the moon circles around us, and that's why the tidal waves, you know, tides.
There are things that circle around the moon.
The whole universe. On the other hand, the other force is separating you.
Right, exactly.
It's very complicated. That's intricate.
The world is built upon this principle called Gilui Bira Adam. That Gili is a code word for expansion. It's a code word of to repel. I'm sorry, all around. Gili is a code word for gravity. Ra'ada is a code word for expansion. The two blend together in a perfect balance that keeps the world in existence. Just like that is so on the cosmic level, it is likewise so on a personal, in a microcosmic level, in man. Every single person is a miniature world, an olam katan. And a person lives with this dichotomy of gilui birada, and it expresses itself in when you shuckle, when you learn, your going forward is an expression of gilui. I'm being pulled to Hashem. And then as I realize the awesomeness of Hashem, I'm afraid. Ra'ada, you go back. If I keep on going back, I'm gone, I'm out the door, I'll never walk into shul again. No, I need to be before Hashem. I come in. Don't get too close. Know your place. There is gilui bira'ada. At the beginning,
somebody who shuffles back and forth versus the guy who
goes sideways.
So, well, that's the whole right and left.
Those are politicians. Okay, I don't know. Okay, it's also
there's
the
a
same
for right and left.
Yeah, there is.
We also have a Talmud translate Gilu Betzalu.
The Davin, the pray. Gilu means is to pray. There's a joy in pray. So here is the Av, here is Yiddish and the Yira.
The waves
rise up. The waves have a kind of rising.
But
the pasuk begins over here. The Hadamah to the word the Gilu B'Dod is Yiddish Hashem B'Yira, as you mentioned. Yiddish Hashem B'Simcha. Like this, I guess, you know, this is like another example of the Freudian slip. Where you go take, you put in the room a chassid and a misnagid, and you say to them, finish the pasuk. Yeah. Ilu es Hashem, the chassid is going to say, besimcha. The misnagid is going to say, b'yira, b'yira. You say, v'ho'ir shushan, the chassid is going to say, tzohala v'samecha. And the misnagid is going to say, novoicha. Okay, so you say, finish the pasuk, is
Kesef. Tell me a pasuk in Kohelus about money, Kesef. So the Chasidim say, Oyev Kesef, lo yispa Kesef. And the Mishnah is going to say, A Kesef, Ya'anes, Akol. Okay, this is all you need. You have a psychologist.
Who says Kesef Yanakol? Which one?
The Misnaget.
The Misnaget.
He looks at everything. There's a joke going around now about the three people that come into that they're in Gehenna. There was a Chabadnik, and a Breslover, and a Litvak, a Yeshivach. They were sitting and they were in Gehenna. In walks the Lubavitch Rebbe. Into Gehenna, and he looks at the Lubavitch Chassid. What are you doing here? So he says, Rebbe, I did this Avera, and that Avera, and that Avera. Did you learn the Kutei Sichos? Did you?
He does.
What are you doing?
Did you do this? All the Chabad stuff. Did you go put on tefillin? Did you do this? Did you do all the Chabad stuff? You know, the whole, yeah, come with me. The Lubavitch grabs him, and he takes him out of Gehenna. They go to Gan Eden. In walks Rav Nachman Mibreslov from Uman. He comes from Uman and he sees the Breslov again. What are you doing over here? And he tells him, I did this over there. So he asks him, I don't know, I'm not familiar with all of the Breslov, you know, the whole spiel, okay? All the paraphernalia.
Did
you go to Uman for Rosh Hashanah? Did you say this? You know, I don't know, all that Torah. So he says, yeah. So what? So come with me. He grabs him, he takes him out again. In walks the Litvishor Rosh Hashiva. And he sees the Litvak sitting in Gehenna. And he says, and the Rosh Hashiva says to him, I told you so. I told you you were going to Gehenna. Good for you. Okay? I have a much more nasty ending to the story, but I'm not going to say it in public. Ivdu Es Hashem, so over here you have Ivdu Es Hashem B'yira, this pasuk B'yira and not B'simcha. So let's see the Rashi. Rashi pasuk Gedal says, Rashi, would you believe it? Rashi is silent on the beginning of the pasuk? Just means V'gil B'ra'adah, Kishatavai Oysa Ra'adah Shekas Saba, you shall rejoice in trepidation. Now, what does that mean? Al derech pshat. Kishatavai Oysa Ra'adah Shekas Saba, O Chaza Ra'adah Chanefim. The Ra'ad refers to the end of days. In Yishai it says, Ochazo Ra'ad Chanefim. What is the Chanefim? The flatterers. The Chanefim means the group of people who are wicked. There are people out there in the world who are, there are two things. There's the Leitzim and the Mechanef. A Chanef is someone who flatters. A Leitz is a scoffer. Two different types of people who are no good. So it says in Yeshaya that in the end of days, the people who are the flatterers, which basically promote the promoters of evil, they will be overcome with terror. They will be shaking in their pants because they now realize the day of reckoning is upon them and they will be destroyed. So when that happens, the tzaddikim, so this pasuk over here says, according to Rashi, the tzaddikim who see that the day of reckoning has arrived, and the chanefim, the flatterers, are now overcome with fear. They know that they're going to be punished and destroyed. Now is the time for the tzaddikim to rejoice. The gilui, you tzaddik, rejoice in the re'odah of the resha'im. Okay, that's an interesting pshat. That's not what you're going to hear from the average person when you stop them on the street. And you tell them, tell me, translate for me. You say it to them every single day. You say the pasuk, you say it to them, translate for me the pasuk, the gilu bera'adah. So they're going to tell you what I just told you, some chasid shavart. That's why you shakol, rejoice with trepidation. Simchas Torah, when you celebrate Simchas Torah, it's not a simcha shel hoilulus. You don't just run around like a meshugana on Simchas Torah. There's a dignified way to rejoice. When you go to a wedding, you don't just act like an animal. You rejoice with trepidation. There's a dignity. That's how the average person will translate for you the words V'gilu Birada. There are limits. There's a balance. When you rejoice as an Orthodox Jew, you rejoice in a dignified way. But that's not what Rashi says. Rashi says something entirely different. The word ra'ada is describing the wicked. The wicked people of this world, their day will come. The day of reckoning will come when they will be destroyed, when they will stand before Hashem in Mishpat, and they will be terrified because they know what's coming upon them. When that moment comes that the wicked will get what they deserve, Gilui, you the tzaddikim should now rejoice. That sounds a little bit, you know, we don't take delight in witnessing b'nifol oivecha al tismach. This idea is a dangerous idea. It has to be balanced with when your enemy falls, don't rejoice. So some will tell you that only applies to Jews. B'nifol oivecha al tismach, if you have a Jewish partner in business, so then don't gloat over the downfall of your fellow Jew. But when it comes to non-Jews, no, rejoice. Adaraba, they deserve everything what they get. It's definitely true, but it's a dangerous game. It's a slippery slope. Once a person starts engaging too much in rejoicing over the downfall of wicked people, you know, it can go a little bit too far, and it can be chil Hashem. It's a very delicate. We don't seem to emphasize. You don't see in yeshivas, they're emphasizing in Jewish education to tell Jews to rejoice over the downfall of wicked people. That's for Hashem. That's for the Asalavo, to appreciate what that means in a.
Isn't that what Purim is all about?
Yes and no. Is that really what Purim is about? Purim is that we survived. That's our survival. It happens to me the way we survive is our enemies, the 10 sons of Haman, were hanging from the tree.
We rejoiced a lot.
So what is the focus of rejoicing? Is the focus good? They were destroyed, or is the focus that we survived? It would appear the focus, it's obviously it's two sides of the same coin, but the focus is our survival. We don't focus, it's not the Jewish way, at least an hour until Mashiach comes, to focus on rejoicing over the downfall of the wicked. It is a necessity, but it's not something you focus on. There are evil people who have to be neutralized, but we don't gloat. We thank Hashem and we celebrate our survival, our opportunity, our ability to serve Hashem freely without any hindrance. But to go and to exclusively gloat over their downfall, that's just not the Jewish way. Although we have it all over in our liturgy, Shufeich HaMoschel HaGoyim. In the middle of the Seder, you open up the door, you go outside, and you pray Hashem to obliterate them, yeah?
So
it's
not
Adam
Bizibasi.
What? Shema Adam.
Yeah.
We say this. Okay, so what?
Shum Adam.
Shum Adam. Humanity, anyone in this world. Excellent. I don't know the answer. There is, obviously, you find both of these principles in Judaism. Where is the balance? I do not know. On the one hand, all over the place, we have exactly what we say every single, we're supposed to say every single night in the Kriya Shema Alamita, I'm grateful everyone, and I pray that no human being in this world should be punished because of me. I'm not here to go and gloat over people's punishment. On the other hand, it's all over Tanakh, this principle of what Rashi says explicitly, Vigilu Berada. The word Ra'ada refers to the wicked people. Their day of reckoning will come, they will be terrorized, they will suffer, and when that happens, we will rejoice. Right, that's correct.
That's how it break the light.
So,
there you find, we see our enemies,
but there's a balance, obviously. Okay, next, let's finish up. Nashku Var. Pen ye'enaf v'soivdu. Now, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Let's maybe, in fact, look at the Mitzudos Tzion. What is bar? Or what is the word nashku? Nashku is b'loshon teshuka v'chemda. It means teshuka. What's teshuka mean? A desire. Cheshek. It says by Shechem. A nafshei choshak. His neshama has an intense cheshek for your daughter or for your sister Dina. Okay, so the word over here, Nashku, means a cheshek. The word var is barur. Var is clarity. Yearn with clarity. Pen ye'enaf, lest you be destroyed. Look at the mitzudah, it's looking at the mitzudah's David. Nashku, bar chindu var levav. The var here does not mean with clarity, means He's learning as a code word, according to them, everything, and everything is subject to some perushim. But let's do a little bit whatever we can. Var means those pure people. It's like it is a description of a person. A person who's a pure person. You pure tzaddik, you holy person, yearn. Chindu var levav lekabel malchus ha-mashiach, to accept the authority, the dominion of the Mashiach with a full heart. Pen yenaf, pen yechre af Hashem bochem. This passage, according to the Mitzvah Stav, is warning us that you better say every single day the Ani Mamins. You better make sure you get to the end. Ani Mam b'munah shlem b'vias ha-mashiach af al pi sheyismameya im kol zeh achake lo. And if you don't do this, then you're going to, then Hashem's going to get angry. Pen yenaf, Hashem will get angry, this soivdu, and you will be destroyed. Derech, v'soivdu, derech ki yivar ki mat apoy, ashre kol choy seivo. Let's see the Mitzvah Stavit. Let's see the Mitzvah Stavit is on the other, is on page 22. V'soivdu derech, those two words go together, right? V'soivdu lemar, tiyu toyim miblidas onetifnu. You will lose your way. Hashem will get angry at you. Hashem will not protect you. He will not guard you. He will withdraw from you. And you will lose your way in life. Ki yivar, the next word is David, kasher yivar apoy, this is like a repetition, when Hashem's anger is not just in the state of af. Af always means Hashem is angry in the inside. Charoin is when the inner anger flares, it comes out. Hashem's anger that's on the inside may flare, ma'at, what does it mean, ki ma'at apoy? Even a little bit. He learns the word kimat means even a small amount. Oz tovu derech. He puts the two. We'll read it again 1 second. Ashrei zet hilos achosim b'Hashem. Then he winds down. This is the end of the mizmar. These are the praises of those that have faith in the Baruch Hu. Al ki migliba miskilu das oimetz koyach. That in their heart they have become wise to know the power of Hashem's ways. Ve'itzem zroy l'zeh chosuvol. So the story according to the mitzvot, we'll see the Rashi very quickly. Over here is as follows. He's telling over here, this is an instruction. Pasuk Yud Beis is a world to itself. According to the Mitzudos, David HaMelech is giving, or maybe not really David, Hashem is giving instructions to us, to Klal Yisrael, to yearn for the coming of Mashiach. Why should we yearn? So he tells us, because number one, Hashem will get angry. Hashem will get angry at us if we don't yearn for Mashiach. Number two, there's a practical benefit. And we will lose our way in this world, even if Hashem ki yivar kim'at apoy, even if Hashem's af flares into a fire, an expression, even a small amount. So it will appear that he's giving us instructions. Get Nashku var. Yearn. Let's reverse the order. A var, a person who is pure, a good person. Let me give you some good advice. Nashku. Yearn for the Melech HaMashiach. Yearn for him. Because if you don't yearn for him, pen yenaf, Hashem will get angry. Hashem wants us very much to yearn for the coming of Mashiach. What do we say every single day when we finish davening? Al kein nikave lecha Hashem Elokeinu. We yearn for you, lirois mehera b'sifares uzecha. How is that going to happen? How will it be that we will see your glory? It will only be through the intermediary of the Melech HaMashiach. Every single day in Shemoneh Esrei we say it 3 times. Esenach David, adcha mehera satzmiach, v'kara nitzvah meshuasecha, ki lishu osicha, Kivinu kol hayom. When we talk about the tzemach of David, the Melech HaMashiach, we immediately mention ki lishu oscha, for your salvation, we yearn. Why are we yearning? Why are we saying that 3 times a day? Kivinu kol hayom. Why, when we say aleinu, do we say al kein? Therefore, nikave lecha Hashem Elokeinu lirois mehera b'sifere suzecha. It's this pasuk. This pasuk is where there is an instruction from the Navi. Nashku, according to Rash, according to the Mitzulos, yearn. It's equivalent to the word kivinu. Who should be do this? The var. Who is the var? Var is a code word for the var levav. A person, a pure good person. And if we don't do this, Hashem's going to get angry because we're not trying to participate in bringing the world to its perfection. And Hashem will get angry. And not only will Hashem get angry, we are, it's not just that okay, we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. We are in trouble. We're going to lose our footing on this world. Pen v'soivdu derech. We're going to lose our way in this world. We're not going to survive. And then there's a bit of repetition here. Ki yivar kim'at apoy. Even if Hashem gets angry just a little bit. And then the Mizmar concludes, this is the total summary of the Hakdama to Sefer Tehillim, the first two Mizmarim. The first Mizmar was David as an individual. The second was David as the Melech, Ashrei, worthy of praise. Call all those people Chosevo, who put their faith in Hashem. And putting their faith in Hashem is captured in everything that it says in these first two Mizmarim. And that includes not going in the Atzas Rishoim and studying Ki Bitaraso Yega Yilam Valaila and being, you'll be like the eight Shosul. And when it comes to Mashiach, acknowledging that the nations of the world are going to assemble and the Melech HaMashiach is going to tell them, desist, stand down, don't look for trouble. Hashem is willing to have rachmanis on you also. Don't try to go to battle against Klal Yisrael. This whole sequence of events. And there's going to be a Melech HaMashiach. Okay, let's see how Rashi looks at this pasuk. We'll finish up Rashi with a pasuk of your base. Nashku var. Rashi is something totally... Zorzu atzmechem bevor levav. Rashi disagrees with the word nashku means a weapon. A neshek. A completely different interpretation than the Mitzvah's dog. It means to arm yourself. Bear arms. The war is coming. It's Mulchemes Goygu Magog. Bar, he agrees with the Mitzudos, but not totally. It's not describing a person who already is a pure person. It's telling a person what the weapon is. The weapon is not a barzel, a bow and arrow, a cherev. It's none of this. It is arm yourself with purity. The weapon, the ultimate weapon of mass destruction is purity. Nashku zorzu atzmechem bevor levav. Isn't that beautiful? How more beautiful can you get than that? Telling you the secret. The secret, the weapon of mass destruction to conquer the world is purity. Purity of heart. Arm yourself with purity of heart. Pen Yenaf. Now over here we have Ramchol. You want to give us some translation of this?
I can't make this up. Or is it's purity?
Yeah.
Purity.
Pretty sure he's translating bar.
Okay.
Whatever this word is, it's a noun. So it has to be bar.
Okay, so Mitzvah also said it means purity, but he said it means purity in a different form. That it is a person. It's a noun. We have a person who is pure. And this person who is pure, we are saying to him, sir, you're a good person. Don't forget to pray and yearn for the coming of Mashiach. Rashi is not saying that. Rashi is saying bar is not a person. It is an emotion. It is a character trait. And we're addressing every person. Every person in this world, you shall arm yourself. You shall get training and learn how to use, how to arm yourself with the Nida, the character trait of purity. Now, Umenachim Pasa Oisai.
He's translating us about Rav Eliach.
Yeah.
That's the way. And he told me once.
It's like an avarik.
He told me once. It says, Ukne lecha chaver. Ukne le'atzmecha. The character of Chaver. You should be a Chaver.
You should be a good person. Beautiful.
That's the same thing.
Same idea over here.
Okay, let's go back. Okay, Menachem. Menachem translates this Loshon Tava. That's exactly what the Mitzudos David said. He said Loshon of Cheshek. Cheshek. K'moy v'yel ishech t'shuka seich. That the Isha, the klal was that you will yearn for your husband. Pen yenaf, pen yiktsoif, you will be cut down. Yenaf, he is translated the word year. Is you'll be cut down. Is that correct? Yenaf, yiktsoif. Anger. Okay, you'll be cut down. V'soif du derech, and your derech. Okay, your derech will be you lost. Ke'inyin shenema v'derech rishoim toveit. This goes back to the first mizmah. The first mission, the same exact thing that the Derek is a parallelism over here. Ki yivar kimat apo, ki berega muad yivar apo aleichem pisoim. Because if you don't do this, you can be wiped out in a second, suddenly. So he says over here the word, what he's saying over here is something very, very profound. That the word ma'at really means suddenly. See, the Mitzvah David struggled with this, and he says, pen. Ki yivar kimat abo means even if Hashem gets angry just a little bit, you're done. You've lost your footing. You're finished. He's saying it's not
an instant. You mean like kolem?
Right. No, kolem, that was destroy them. It means you don't know what's coming. You always have to be in a state of being prepared because it can happen any moment. We live in a dangerous world. Pisayim. It says by the Nazir. The Nazir, it says, ki yipol meis olav bepesa pisayim. Bepesa pisayim. You don't know. You don't know what's coming. And therefore, he's telling you, arm yourself with purity. Because when you're going to need that purity, you're not going to have time to prepare. Don't think, oh, you'll see it coming. You'll see Mashiach is coming. Everything is on its way. Okay, now I'll take off from work. I'll go to Kollel and work on myself. Improve my character, my Torah knowledge. No. It doesn't work like that.
On the other hand,
yeah.
Which means don't go around all the time.
Right, there's a balance.
Expecting the worst.
Balance. But he translates the words kima'at apoi, not in its literal sense, a little bit. It means... Ma'at means it means at any moment in time it can happen. It means pisam. Look at the Rashi again with him. Kiva gibanarabo. Ki brega muad yivar apoy aleichem pisam. Vi oisa shah. And at that moment, he's saying vi oisa shah. And if you're prepared, if you are indeed prepared, being armed with the trait of purity, and then that moment of Hashem's revelation comes, and you're prepared, wow. Good for you. Good for you. You're a millionaire. You got it all. Ashrei kol choy sevo yihyu nikodim. It will be noticeable. Ishurei. It will be noticeable. The uprightness, the happiness, the uprightness, the success. Kol hachoy sevo. All those that have faith in Hashem. The people that are now arming themselves with the trait of purity. They are the ones that are the choy sevo. And it will be fortunate for them, it will be noticeable, it will be fortunate for them at that moment of time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu suddenly arrives and brings the Geula. All right, so we've concluded Mizmah Beis. Either tomorrow we'll either go on to Mizmah Gimel, or maybe tomorrow I'll see if I'm prepared. Maybe I want to go over selected ideas in this Mizmah. Okay, so basically this Mizmah what is this Mizmah all about? It's all about Yemos HaMashiach. That's really what it's all about. Moshe Mashiach, the Mashiach is coming. There's Melchemes Gogamavog. All of the nations of the world are surrounding the Jewish people. Their goal is to cut off our cords, to cut down our straps. And then what happens? Hashem and Shema sees this event, sees our enemies are trying to destroy us, and Hashem ridicules them. Really? You guys think you're going to go and bring harm to the Jewish people? You're out of your mind. I'm going to terrify you. How am I going to terrify you? I'm going to raise up the Melech HaMashiach.
The Melech HaMashiach is going to come and arrive on the scene. Vani Nosachti Malki. I'm going to appoint, I'm going to pour the oil on my king. And what is he going to do? I'm going to say to him. And he's going to reveal and say that he represents the chosen people. Bini B'chori Yisrael. And I'm going to say to the Melech HaMashiach, you want to survive this battle? All you have to do is daven to me. Sha'al Nimeni. And when you dive into me, you will succeed in conquering the entire world. You'll take these wicked people, you'll blow them to smithereens, you'll obliterate them. And then it winds down and says, everyone pay attention to what I told the Melech HaMashiach, and the way you're going to all survive and participate is by serving Hashem with Yirah. And when you serve Hashem with Yirah, you will then rejoice in witnessing the trepidation of the Goyim when they're being destroyed by the Melech HaMashiach. And to prepare for this, you have to now, before Mashiach comes, arm yourself with purity. And if you'll do so, when this moment that will come suddenly arrives, you'll be prepared. And you'll be very happy, and you'll be ready. And I have no doubt in my mind, everyone here in the Kollel, in the morning Kollel, will be on the front lines, because everyone here will be well prepared. And I'll see Meir there, going forward with the Israeli flag, leading the way. Okay.
As long as you don't say I told you so.
Okay, let's take a short break. Then I have a very good topic. The topic then it's a little bit about Hanukkah. It's a little bit about Hanukkah, not mainly about Hanukkah, but it will tie into Hanukkah in a very nice way. We'll come back in a few moments.
Yeah, you like that.